Welcome to the podcast. I'm Larry Matthews. We're joined by author D.B. Corey, the author of a new book called Chain of Evidence. D.B. Corey is a new author with a new book. Welcome.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Awesome. So let's talk about your book, Chain of Evidence. Tell me about it.
Well, Chain of Evidence is a story of a serial killer who hides in the shadow of another serial killer, and he has the means to skew the evidence to point to the first killer.
How does he do that?
Well, he's a medical examiner, and he skews the evidence. He basically replaces evidence with evidence specimens, let's say, that point to the original killer.
So is he trying to frame the other guy or just mask his own crimes?
He's masking his own crimes. He's basically taking advantage of his position and using that to, shall we say, fulfill certain needs that he has.
Are those needs explained?
They are in the book.
Yeah, okay. So where does this take place?
This is in Baltimore. It takes place in Baltimore.
So that's where you're from?
I am.
So a lot of authors, I guess myself included, you know, use location as a kind of character. I set the Dave Haggard thrillers in Washington and use the city as a sort of backdrop and character. Do you do that with the city of Baltimore?
I don't use Baltimore as a character per se. Those are the locals that have read the book enjoy the fact that they know the locations that I reference in the book. But I don't really use the city as a character, more as a setting and a background.
So when you create your character, what's your protagonist's name?
Moby Truax.
Moby Truax. Tell us about Moby Truax.
Moby is a senior detective for the Special Investigations Division of the Maryland State Police. It is a fictional division that I came up with. To handle, you know, crimes that are unusual. He's getting on in years. He's looking at the end of his career. And he's also dealing with things like memory loss and, his eyesight is failing and those sorts of things that folks run into as they grow older. I wrap that around a serial murderer, and he also has to deal with changes in technology, which he doesn't care for, new environment with younger peers that he has to deal with, and none of them believe in the old ways.
And he does.
And he does, sure.
So I assume you did that on purpose, that you didn't want to have the young, dashing, hotshot detective who knows all, sees all.
I did not, and that's perceptive. I didn't want a super cop. I wanted a fellow like the guy next door, or across the street, or the guy you work with, people that you see every day, because that's what he is. He's an everyday guy.
So did you pattern after anyone you knew?
Well, I stole some of my own disadvantages.
You might have something in common with Mr. Gave him the Moby.
Yes. I gave Moby initially, I gave him a photographic memory, but only so I could take it away from him, so he would be at that disadvantage. Other than that, he suffers from the same things that anyone that's getting along in years suffers from.
How do you define getting along in years?
Well, in over 60. Moby's actually under 60 because Maryland State Police has a mandatory retirement age of 60. So okay. I had to make him a little younger. So he's actually 58 in the book, due to retire in 2 years. And I wanted to give him a little space, too, so he could suffer a little more.
So now, all right, let's talk about the medical examiner. How'd you come up with him?
I actually just kind of stumbled across that idea. I was watching the news one night, and a celebrity, a rather attractive celebrity, died. And there was a news report with video of her body being wheeled into the coroner's office. And I turned to my wife, and I said, I wonder what really goes on there. And then she turned to me, she said, "You have a sick mind."
Always a plus for someone writing a thriller.
Absolutely.
So what kind of research did you do? Did you go to attend autopsies or talk to somebody? How did you determine what they do in these medical exams?
I did talk to the chief medical examiner of in Baltimore City. They handle all of Maryland, by the way. So I talked to him years ago when I first got the idea of the book. He was very cordial and very helpful. And along the other lines, I basically just did a lot of research on the internet. Google is a wealth of information, and it makes it a whole lot easier. I did speak with a few police officers on certain things, but pretty much for the most part, most of the research was done online.
So let's talk about how you put this book together, your writing. Are you a plotter or a pantser? Do you plot your book?
I am definitely a pantser, but
yeah,
I also...
Right by the seat of your pants.
I do, but I also, I outline specific scenes. I put little notes in there as to what I want to happen, and then I try and follow those notes, but I allow myself to expand. I think outlining is all well and good for some writers, but for me, it's a little confining. I'd rather be able to move around outside of the lines, as they say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I talked to a number of authors, and the plotters don't understand how the pantsers do it, and I guess the pantsers don't understand how the plotters do it. But there are some writers that'll spend up to a year just diagramming and plotting their book before they actually begin to write the book. And there are others, pantsers like yourself and me. I just let the characters take me where they want to go. Do you ever have that experience where your characters are sort of telling you what they want to do and where to go next?
You know, a lot of people say, you know, my character did this, my character wanted to do that, and I tend not to agree with that because, I mean, you know, it's a fictional character. He doesn't really exist, so he really doesn't have that kind of power or authority. But with you, the writer, as the character, yes, that happens. So, in effect, you step into the character's shoes, you become the character. And, yeah, you can deviate and you can spin and go someplace where you didn't really intend to just by the way the writing flows. That happens to me frequently, but I tend to keep control of that a little more. I guess it was my first novel years ago. I let my character take me so far out. I had to basically trash a very large portion of the book because I wrote myself right into a corner, and I couldn't unwrite it, so I just canned it.
Yeah. That's happened to me, too. Chain of Evidence. When did this book come out? It's from Intrigue Publishing, which is a Maryland-based firm. So it's out within the last couple of months?
August. It was released August 1st.
So what kind of marketing are you doing? What are you doing to call attention to the book? And I ask that because that seems to be, after actually writing the book, that seems to be the next thing that writers talk about.
Oh, that is the hardest part of it. I found that the writing of the novel was actually the easy part. The marketing piece of it is much more involved and it keeps you much busier. I'm on Facebook. I've got a website, dbcorey.com. That's Corey with an E. Facebook, like I said, I've got Twitter. I've got LinkedIn, all of it. And it's almost too much.
Yeah. Do you spend much time on the social media part of it?
I do, unfortunately. I would rather farm that out, but
yeah,
I'm not at that level yet.
Yeah. So you have another book in the works, I hear.
I do. This is a vigilante-themed novel, pardon me, where a young woman is brutally murdered, and the justice system releases the murderer on a technicality. That's something that really pushes my buttons, and I've decided to go after the criminal justice system in this novel.
And what's that called?
This is really untitled right now, Larry.
Okay.
I'm going to hold back on that. I've got a working title of the the second book.
Okay.
But yeah, I've got a couple of titles in mind, but you know, the publishers, they like to pick the titles and come up with the artwork for the cover. So that's pretty much out of my hands, but we'll see what happens.
But in the meantime, we can read Chain of Evidence by D.B. Corey. The website is dbcorey.com, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y. Thank you very much.
Larry, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.